You have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the Psalms. In the Psalms, we thank the Lord for what we've already heard and appreciate it. Brother Billy, if you don't mind, could I impose upon the young lady that sung about the blood if she'd come back and sing that song at the end of my sermon this morning? I just feel like I need another dose of that. And you know, sometimes you people sing a song and you say, I've heard enough of that. And every now and then somebody will sing a song and I just need another dose of that. So if she'll let me impose upon her to come at the end of the service and sing that one more time. We have been, since Sunday morning, looking at various and sundry people in the Bible that had a relationship with a tree, and preaching on being rightly related to a tree. We looked at Adam and Eve. They found themselves behind the tree. It was the tree of the fallen. Adam and Eve made a choice for us all. Adam chose for all the men. Eve chose for all the women. And they left us dead, deaf, dumb, and no ability to come to God. And no ability to quit sinning. They left us in quite a quandary. And then we looked at Zacchaeus on Sunday night. He found himself up a tree. It was the tree of the favored. And then appreciate the Lord helping us yesterday morning as we looked at Elijah. He found himself under a tree, a tree of the fainting. Psalms 1 this morning. David found himself like a tree. It was the tree of the fruitful. Is in this text this morning that we have the evidence, characteristics, or the legitimacy of a true Jesus tree. Your pastor this morning, it would be good for you to lay down your converts beside this and see if they're truly a Jesus tree. Because I'm afraid a lot of those that we think are saved, they're still lost and on their way to hell. They must meet the criteria of a true Jesus tree. I remember years ago, my wife was visiting her mama down in Portsmouth, Virginia, and my wife was reading the newspaper, and her mother was watching Ricky Lake on the TV, and there was two gals there on the TV. They were fighting and arguing over an African-American man that they both wanted. And my wife looked up from the newspaper and she said, gracious. She said, both of them gals got saved at our church and my husband baptized them. She called me and told me about it. I said, yeah, and they were my converts because they weren't Jesus' converts. Jesus' converts are strange and mysterious things. And they shall meet the criteria of being a Jesus tree. First three verses of Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree, as a Jesus tree. You shall lay your converts, those that you in your church, those that don't come half the time, lay them down beside these three verses. You'll see where they stand. He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I notice this, like a tree, Jesus tree, tree of the fruitful. What would it involve? I notice it would involve the planting of the tree. He says that the procedure of the planting, he says in verse 3, shall be like a tree planted. I was interested in that little word planted. It is our little word, if transliterated out of the original language, it is our little word transplanted. To rip violently out of one situation and stick it in another. I wonder if there's evidence this morning in our own lives and lives of our converts that they have been violently uprooted from the world of darkness and they have been stuck in the world of light. They have been violently uprooted out of the world of darkness and they have been stuck in the world of light. They have been violently uprooted out of the world of unholiness and sin, and they have been planted in the world of righteousness. Like a tree planted. I thought it was interesting. I won't take but just a second. You won't hold your finger there in Psalms 1. I want to confuse you with the Bible. Romans, if you got the Bible there. Paul in Romans chapter number 11, he paints a brief picture for us of this thing of being transplanted, being a true Jesus tree. He says in Romans 11 verse 17, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, he's talking about us Gentiles, being a wild olive tree. A little phrase, wild olive tree, is it? This is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this, maybe way over here. It is a little word for dead stick. It's not connected on either end. There's no photosynthesis. There's no green in this stick at all. It's brown. There's no life there at all. He said, if some of the branches be broken off, then thou, being a wild olive tree, a dead stick. That's what you were when God found you. Woo, glory to God, a dead stick. We're proud of it. He says, and we're grafted in among them. With them partake us of the root, fatness of the olive tree. Boast not thyself against the branches. But if thou boastest, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. See, I was transplanted into the root. Isn't it Jesus that said he's the root and offspring of Jesse? I was a dead stick, and he took me and stuck me into Jesus, and I did live. Amen. Nothing I did, all about what he did is the procedure of the planting. But I noticed back in Psalms 1, I noticed the place of planting. What are we doing now? We're looking at our own selves. We're examining our own selves. Am I a Jesus tree? I'm laying my converts, those that I speak to from time to time, my own family, my own children, my own grandchildren. And where would they be planted? He says he plants all of his trees in the same place. He said he plants them by the rivers of water. He says, I plant them in the headwaters, in the flow. Is in Ephesians 5 that says the cleansing of the church by the washing of the water of the Word of God. True Christians, true converts of Christ, true Jesus trees, have an insatiable thirst for this book. If you have no relationship with this book, you have no relationship with God. Do not think for a moment you're going to heaven and you have no relationship with the Bible. Can you imagine God letting you sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb beside Jeremiah and he turned to you and asked you what you think about his book and you would have the audacity to say, what book? No, Not going to happen. Plants his trees. Do I? Do my converts? Those in my own household and family have an insatiable thirst for the Word of God. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. I was reading some time ago, I think I've shared this with you before, but I'll share it again. I wanted to hear it. Al Mohler years ago did a survey of 1,000 fundamental Baptist Christians in America. Ussans, if you please. You know, fire-believing, King James, pre-trib Baptist. He did a survey amongst them, asked them some questions. One of the questions was, do you believe that this statement is the Bible? God helps those that help themselves. 95% of the people asked on the survey said yes, they believe that was in the Bible. That ain't in the Bible. Matter of fact, it ain't even biblical. God does not help those that can help themselves. The only people that God helps is those that can't help themselves. Matter of fact, He'll arrange it where you can't help yourself, so you got to ask Him to help you. That's simple. Also in the survey, I thought it was interesting, 70% said that they believed this was a true statement. That Noah's Ark and Joan of Arc were husband and wife. I was glad you laughed at that because I was interested in the fact that wondered if you would laugh at this. He asked 1,000 people to tell them how much time they spent in the Bible every day. And he took an average of it. And they average spending 3 minutes a day in the Bible. You wonder what's wrong with America? It ain't Washington. It ain't out there. It's in here. Hello? Many of our so-called converts, those that we think have prayed some prayer, they are still a dead stick and they're still on their way to hell. The old tongue-tied Nazarene preacher, he used to say, everybody tongue-tied going, tempt ain't going. There is the planting of the tree. But I notice in the text, there is the practice of the tree. What kind of practice does the tree have? I notice in verse number 2, there is a bending practice. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The little word delight is a strong bent towards. A true tree that God has planted, He has a strong bent towards the Word of God. The little word delight, it is the highest of pleasure. If you were to lay down going to Pigeon Forge or Dollywood or Gatlinburg and the Word of God, he would be more bent towards finding his true total delight and happiness and real fun in the Word of God. You listen to me. His delight is in the Word of God. He finds it to be his greatest joy. Matter of fact, he starts this chapter off in verse number 1 in saying that this tree that is planted, a Jesus tree, is that of a blessed person. The little word blessed is the little word happy, but it's in the plural. I've met some happy people at the Baptist church, but very seldom do I ever meet any happy, 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 happy people. I mean, they eat up with happy. Psalms 92, he compares these Jesus trees to a palm tree. He compares us to a palm tree. I've always been fascinated by that. Palm trees. When a palm tree is planted, it immediately puts down roots into the ground. We see them a lot in Florida, put roots down. In search of water, right, preacher? No! No. They put great roots down in search of a rock. They can find a rock under the ground. They'll search, sometimes take some years to find it. Once they find that rock, they begin to wrap all of their roots around that underground rock. Once they've underground and wrapped around that rock, then they begin to extend out roots in search of water. Oh, if you've been planted by God, you want to wrap yourself around the rock of ages. And you'll go out in search of water. I often see those great storms down in Florida wipe out whole neighborhoods. Don't leave nothing but the foundation of the house, and you'll look in them palm trees, happy, 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 blowing in the breeze. Are you listening to me this morning? There is a bending practice, but I notice there is a blessed practice. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and if he gets a chance, if he's not too busy, in his law doth he meditate. No, 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 no. Day and night. The little phrase is not in the morning and the night. Every wakening hour. He's thinking about this book. I told Billy the other day, I can't understand preachers that don't want to preach. I'm either thinking about preaching or I'm preaching. Meditate. I was interested in the little word meditate. It's a very interesting word. We get our little word ruminate from it. Ruminate. Chewing the cud. You know, old cow chew the cud. They'll chew. They'll swallow it down. After a while, they'll burp it back up in their mouth and chew some more. They'll swallow it down, burp it back up, chew it some more. They'll keep doing that all day long until that last upchuck in their mouth is just liquid. And they'll swallow it back down. It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. And it becomes cow. So all day long, I'm going to get me a little portion of this book, and I'm going to chew on it in my mind. Just wrote it over. And I'll swallow it down my soul. And then after a while, I'll bring it back up in my mind. I'll chew on it some more. And I'll bring it back down in my soul. And then after a while, I'll bring it back up in my mind. You can do this while you're driving the car. I don't care what you're doing. You can do this all day long. And just keep bringing. And when I lay down at night, I make that last swallow down in my soul. And when it gets down in my soul, it becomes Jesus. And he begins to live that out in my life. That's Jesus' trick. Any of you converts like that? I'm afraid most of us on milk. It's what we can get from somebody else, some podcast, some other preacher. That's the difference in milk and meat. One of them come from a cow, the other one is a cow. See, the only way you get any meat, you got to open this book, cut yourself some off, and feed yourself. It's the only thing that'll sustain you. Matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 5, if all you live on is milk, he said, you can't tell the difference between good and evil. Isn't that amazing that some of you sitting here this morning that are on a milk diet, the only thing you ever get is from somebody else. You never open the Bible and feed yourself. You can't tell the difference in good and evil. Wow. That's scary, isn't it? Old John Huss did a biographical sketch of him several years ago, and I come across the little word in his teachings,
He taught his little parish church in England the imbibing of the Scriptures. The imbibing of the Scriptures. And I thought about myself. I said, Grace, what kind of crazy doctrine is that? That man, old reformer and Puritan, was teaching his people the imbibing of the Scriptures. I went and looked up that word imbibing. It's an old English word for being addicted to alcohol. He taught his people that they needed to be addicted to this book. You know, old drunk, he ain't gonna get far from a bottle. Huh? Man, old drunk, get up in the morning, I gotta have me a drink. A tree that's been planted by Jesus, he gets up and, man, I just gotta have me some book. I gotta have me a word. Are you listening to me? Addicted. Planting of the tree. The practice of the tree. Could I mention the production of the tree? I notice in verse 3 there is a furthering production. Shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. He says his leaf won't wither. He's an evergreen. He always has signs of life. He never has signs of death. You know, we got a couple of trees in our backyard, and it's hard to tell which one of them is an evergreen tree until winter comes and it gets real cold outside, and then it's very clear which one of them has got the goods, because they still green. They still standing out there in the backyard saying, hey, I am alive. The other one looked dead, but not that one. It looked alive. Those are the trees that Jesus has planted. There is a furthering production. Matter of fact, he says in verse number 3 that whatever they do, shall prosper. Wow. That is a foolproof plan of success. He says, if you do these three verses, be a Jesus tree, he says, everything you touch, he said, I'll prosper. Are you listening to me? There is a furthering production. But I notice there is a fruitful production. He says that his leaf shall not wither. He says, and he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I was interested in that little word, bringeth forth. It is not a word of force, but it is a word of cooperation. Jesus' trees don't sit around and say, I'm going to preach, I'm going to produce some Jesus today. No, here come. No. Jesus trees, they just cooperate with the sap of the Holy Ghost inside of them. They get full of the Word of God and get full of the Holy Ghost, and fruit just start popping out on them. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. They produce that fruit by cooperation. Matter of fact, he said in John 15, he says that he is the vine, we are the branch. He says, if you abide in my word, find yourself at home in my word, he says, you'll produce fruit, yeah, much fruit, more fruit. It's out of cooperation with the Holy Ghost that produces fruit. I was looking several years ago at, he says, I am the vine, he is the branches. I was looking at grapes. How many of you ever buy grapes at the store, them bags? Keep your hands up. How many of you eat one of them grapes before you buy them? Well, you put your hand down, you crazy?
Anybody a bag of grapes before I eat one of them in my mouth before I go to cash register? I done took too many of them home and they were bad. They's bitter. I bite into one of them, bit bitter. That bag staying there ain't going home with me. I ain't paying all that money for a bunch of bitter grapes. The sweet ones grow up close to the vine. The ones that are way out on the vine, they the bitter ones. He said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. I want to be one of those that grow up there close to Him. Keep you sweet. I love to hand that. It will stop and shout. Fruitful production. I was thinking in closing this morning, in the North Carolina mountains around Asheville, Apple Country, they some time ago developed a procedure of saving their trees. And Red Delicious that has ceased to bear fruit. The tree is old and it will not bear fruit anymore. They cut it down, leaving the stump. And they take a branch off of a crab apple tree. I don't know, you may like crab apples. I like them if you got 75 pounds of sugar to go with them. Well, they take that crab apple branch and they graft it into the trunk of that Red Delicious trunk, wax it in. And they say in a season or two that tree will grow up and it will bear Red Delicious apples. They said they have to keep a watch on them, though, and they got to keep them pruned back, because if they don't, they'll get water sprouts out on the end. They'll start bearing crab apples again. When Jesus found me, I was an old crab apple branch, and there had been a Red Delicious cut down, and He grafted me in. And now I once was a crab apple, am now bearing Red Delicious. The word psalm is the little word mizmar. It means to prune, to cut away the temporal so that the eternal can be seen. Although I have been grafted into the Red Delicious, and I am bearing Red Delicious, I have to keep a watch, because every now and then I want to bear some crab apples. But always I get in this book, He keeps me pruned back. I asked you this morning, am I or are you a fruitful evergreen? Am I or you producing converts that are like a Jesus tree? Am I or you seeing evidence that God is pruning you back? Get those crab apples out of your life. Foolproof plan. You do these. He says, I'll bless everything you do. I wonder if you got folks in your church, oh, they've prayed a prayer. They've joined and you probably dunked them. But you don't see no God on them at all. No fruit. I would wonder. I'd ask them about it. They may still be a dead stick. It has never been planted. Got people in your family, in your life, your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones. Preacher, I tell you, I don't see no Jesus in them. I don't see where they are producing any kind of fruit. You better check on them. They may still be a dead stick. We're standing this morning. Sister over here is going to come and sing the basis for it all. She's done sung it once. We won't hear it again about this blood. Amen. Maybe someone has grown across your mind this morning. Maybe one of your converts. Maybe somebody in your family, maybe some loved one. And you say, I don't see no Jesus in them. Maybe you want to come and gather around this altar and pray for them, that God might transplant them today. Maybe you're here this morning and you see, I have none of those things in my life, preacher. Hey, maybe I'm just still a dead stick. I need to be planted. Be a wonderful day you get in this altar and root you out of place to ask God to have mercy on your never dying soul. Sister's coming around, our heads are bowed. She's going to sing, and you do whatever God tells you to do.